Hi everybody, this is Deacon Louis Zimlick here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. Welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. We're glad you're with us here today on this February 10th, 2019, this fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time. And we've got some great readings today that are going to be read throughout the world, Catholic churches throughout the world. Some beautiful scripture readings. And we're going to be talking about sin. Wow. So how often do we hear this, right? We don't hear about sin very often. You know, it's like sin has disappeared. But the fact of the matter is sin is all around us. And we think about these things in our minds, you know, when we go to Mass and we ask for forgiveness when Mass starts, and then multiple times, during the Mass, we're asking God to have mercy on us. You know, we start with the Kyrie, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. Then we do that again, and that prepares our hearts, starts to open us up. But really, my brothers and sisters, the greatest sins that we commit are the ones that we think are no sins at all, right? So, you know, the wandering eyes, or looking at things on the internet, or what we watch on TV, or, yes, again, the things that we say, the amount of racism that is still prevalent in our society, in our culture. And I don't mean just with white people. I mean with people of color as well, saying things about white people, and Hispanic people saying things about black people, and black people saying things about Hispanic people, and Jewish people saying things about Muslim people, and Muslim people saying things about Christians. It just doesn't seem to end. That's sin. That is sin. And we may think, well, it's no big deal, or they say the same thing about me. Or everybody does it. Everybody watches it. Everybody goes to the strip club. You know? Well, everybody doesn't do these things. You know? And our level of forgiveness. Whether we forgive people who make mistakes. Or do we just destroy them? Destroy their careers, destroy their families. And that is a type of sin. Seeking out this revenge, right? Even though you weren't directly affected, and there's anybody who's raised their hand and says, yes, that person affected me and hurt me. But just for us to say, well, we can see that he made a mistake 30 years ago or 20 years ago, and so now we're going to destroy your career because of it, whether it be business or political or whatever. And you destroy that person. So we're going to talk about sin today. So we got some great scripture readings, a couple of longer ones, another really long reading from 1 Corinthians. But in case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. My name is Deacon Louis Zimlick. And if you want to reach me, I'm at St. John Bosco Parish in Mattawan. And my email address, phone numbers, all that are on the bulletin from there. So you can go to that website. You can also go to the Diocese of Kalamazoo, diokzoo.org. I also invite you to go to holyfamilyradio.net. That's where all of our programs, our Epiphany Radio program, is archived on there. When we first started out, that's where we started out on there. And we've continued on in kind of a secular radio environment, which is great, which is fine. And we're just glad to preach what the Catholic Church has been teaching for almost 2,000 years now, and this great positive faith. And we're going to talk a little bit about baptism too. We're going to talk about infant baptism. We're going to talk about, you know, what the Church teaches about that, and the beauty of that, and how important that is. So let's go right into our readings today. And our first reading is from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 6, 1, 2, and then 3 and 8. In the year of King Uzzid died, I saw the Lord seated on high and lofty throne, with the train of his garment filling the temple. Seraphim were stationed above. They cried to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. all the earth is filled with his glory. At that sound of that cry, the frame of the door shook, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, I am doomed, for I am a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, holding an ember that he had taken with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth with it and said, "See, now that this has touched your lips, your wickedness is removed, your sin purged." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" "Here I am," I said, "send me." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beautiful reading. Our next reading is from 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. I am reminding you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached to you, which you indeed received and which you also stand. Through it, you are also being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas and to the 12. After that, Christ appeared to more than 500 other brothers at once, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. After that, he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. Last of all, as one born abnormally, he appeared to me, for I am the least of the apostles, not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me has not been ineffective. Indeed, I have toiled harder than all of them. Not I, however, but the grace of God that is within me. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And finally, our third reading, our gospel reading today is from the Gospel of Luke 5, 1 through 11. It's Luke 5, 1 through 11. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonished at the catch of the fish they had made, seized him and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So some beautiful readings here today, and in some ways a calling. You know, any young men or women out there, you know, under the age of, I think they say about 40, if you're interested in priesthood or religious life, of course God is always looking for people to work for him and to work for the kingdom. And I think so often too, you know, even in today's headlines and in today's attitudes about religion, and we talked a little bit about that last week, that, you know, there are sinful people in the church. Not only clergy, but parishioners. And even the Pope talked about that. Pope Francis has talked about that. You know, we look at our clergy, and there's many who have fallen, but there is many who are great, holy, good men and women. Just like there are great, good, holy men and women who are parishioners, who are lay people, the average person in the Catholic Church. But it is not easy to be Catholic. We have a lot of territory to cover and to defend. We need to defend the Blessed Mother Mary, who is constantly under attack by the evil one. And yes, even evil churches and evil pastors. And attacking her, attacking the child Jesus, by not celebrating Christmas, by not putting out a nativity scene to honor him, to honor the child. And this is very evil. We have a very evil part of us as human beings. And we're going to talk about sin a little bit today. I could talk about it a lot. And any man, you know, the old saying goes, righteous man falls 7 times a day. And I believe that's true. It's probably more like 50 times, you know, because we're very visual. We're always looking around and looking at things we shouldn't look at. And we need to learn to turn our heads. We need to learn to turn our minds. We need to learn to pray. We need to become diligent and constantly work at that. All of us do. And any person or any man who says, you know, and of course there are, unfortunately, there's some Protestant traditions and Martin Luther taught, you know, sin boldly, you know, and that divorce doesn't matter. And there's many churches out there who think abortion doesn't matter. And it's very sad, my brothers and sisters, because we have a lot of people who are being led right down the path to hell, whistling all the way, with their pastors leading them. And it's very tragic. And so I tell you, my brothers and sisters, this outreach of the Catholic Church, this is a very real thing. You know, this radio program. And, you know, I invite you to listen to some other radio. You know, this is local right here in Southwest Michigan. I'm just a lowly deacon. And there's a lot of good Catholic Answers, Catholic.com, EWTN.com. The National Catholic Register, There's a lot of good information out there about the Catholic Church and about sin and how we are supposed to deal with sin and how sin can and will send us to hell. Okay? That's the bottom line. Sin will send us to hell. Unresolved sin. And I just want to make these about baptism and how important baptism is. And if you haven't been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, water baptism, I encourage you greatly to get baptized. And the church teaches this about baptism as well as baptism in Scripture and infant baptism. So there's these, and get your pens ready. So here we go. The biblical texts are Acts 2:34, Acts 11:14, Acts 16:15, Acts 33, Acts 18:8, and 1 Corinthians 1:16, Matthew 19:14, Mark 16:16, and then John 3:5, as well as Acts 2:38 and Romans 2:28. And we also have Romans 6:3-4 and 1 Corinthians 6:11. There's a lot of scripture, okay, that supports baptism and infant baptism as well. Water baptism, Trinitarian baptism. It's real, my brothers and sisters. You know, sometimes people get you into their church and it's just a sales pitch. That's the bottom line, okay? It's a sales pitch that you don't need to go through any of that stuff. You don't need to learn about anything. You just look up and say, Jesus, I want you in my life, and it's over with. Well, that's wrong. It might be a very small beginning, but it is not baptism. It is not being filled with the Holy Spirit. It is not being brought into Christ's family in a proper way. So let us continue on with some of the scripture readings and what the church teaches on those. If you just joined us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program. My name is Deacon Louis. I'm looking here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, here in southwestern Michigan, and we're talking about sin. We're talking about baptism. We're talking about me as a sinner, that we are all sinners. And God calls us, even though we are sinners, God calls us to work for God in His plan of salvation. Okay, and Isaiah makes us that this glorious radiance of His majesty, right? The glory of the radiance of His majesty. And that we will be faced with God, face to face. God, mysterious presence. Man discovers his own insignificance. See, and that's part of it too, right? So when we face God, when we look at God, we compare ourselves to God, we find our own insignificance and even our own sinfulness. And we don't like that. So in order to deal with that, what do? We walk away, right? We act like small children. Not that small children aren't bad, because small children are not bad. Small children are good. But if you're an adult, if you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old, and you're still acting like you're 10, I'll walk away. I'll walk away. Or 5. See? So the prophet speaks, this is Isaiah, the prophet speaks one-to-one with God. Not to escape, but to draw strength and intercession that awaits and prepares the intervention of the Savior, God. Isn't that beautiful? For God is in history. And the angels play a great role in this salvation, in this history, in this helping us. Just as the angel takes the coal and touches Isaiah's lips with that and makes his lips purifies its lips. The words we speak, the things we say, the things we don't say. And of course, this 1 Corinthians 15 is the creed that we read in the Catholic Church every single Mass. We read this creed. You know, we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. All of this, scriptural. This is this confession of faith that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. That Peter and the 12 are the primary witnesses of the risen Jesus and more than 500 others in a single occasion. Christ's resurrection is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Christ died for us. Christ died and rose from the dead. And it is a historical event. Christ's body is protected from corruption. God, Jesus ascends to heaven. Simon Peter holds the first place of the College of the 12 Apostles. Peter, the first Pope, and Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Notice that Christ gets into his boat, right, in our gospel reading. But let us continue with this 1 Corinthians, what 1 Corinthians is teaching us here. Christ appears to Mary Magdalene and to the holy women who have come to anoint the body. The church is apostolic. Paul is an apostle and the last apparition of Jesus. Right? So beautiful. The church is designated by the liturgical assembly, the local community, and the whole universal Catholic community of believers. Above all, in the Eucharist. See, Holy Communion. Not grape juice and bread, but consecrated by a priest, consecrated by Jesus Christ on the altar at Mass. And it becomes the true body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. That's Catholicism, my brothers and sisters. That's what we're talking about here. Being in the church. Above all, in the Eucharist. She draws her life from the Word of God, and the body of Christ. And so herself becomes Christ's body. Sinners, yes, but slowly but surely trying to purify ourselves. Slowly but surely trying to, you know, we've been saved through baptism. We are being saved as we receive the sacraments, reconcile our lives, try to live a good life, being saved. And thirdly, we hope to be saved in the end. And that is up to God. That is up to Christ. Whether we enter the kingdom of God. See. There's no presumption. You know, many churches teach that too. This presumption. You're saved. Once saved, always saved. Saved by faith alone. Just make a statement up to the air. Don't have to go to church. Don't have to behave yourself. You can have 10 wives. Get married and divorced every other weekend if you want to. That is not the way God designs it. Does divorces happen? Is tragic sometimes necessary? Yes. I'm certainly not saying, you know, you want to stay married to someone who's beating you or abusing you. But if you get married, it is serious. You need to try to stay married for your life. For your life, because that is the way Jesus intends it. That's the way God has always intended it. Because what happens is we separate that marriage. God is involved in that. We tear ourselves away from God. And any divorced person will attest to this. The great pain. The great, horrible pain of divorce in a family. The children will attest to it. It is sin. It is sin. And it's a great tragedy. And sometimes I think these great tragedies have happened because of religious people, what they've taught. Protestant churches, what they've taught. Bible churches, what they've taught about marriage. The inaccuracies. The blatant hypocrisies. And here we are today. And we wonder why. We wonder why. It is such a mess. And it continues to be taught. And it continues to be taught in Protestant and Bible seminaries as well, unfortunately. And so this gospel reading, very powerful. Before the divine signs are wrought by Jesus, Peter exclaims, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." This admission of guilt is the key to being saved and to being free and to being healed. See, we doubt God constantly. God asks us to do something, we do something different. Right? Jesus asks him, "Put down the nets." What's Peter say? "Well, you know, we've been fishing all night. You know, I don't know, but okay. Since you said so, Lord, I'll do it." And what happens? He catches this great number of fish. Right? My brothers and sisters, God is constantly working with us. You gotta laugh about some of this stuff, otherwise you'll go crazy. But always know that God is a God of second chances. Third, 10, 100, a million chances. God is constantly asking us to talk to Him, to pray to Him, to ask Him, "Lord, what can I do? What do I need to do? How can I help? Forgive me for my sinfulness." Right? That's the greatest thing for us to do. Go back to Mass. Go back to Mass. Go back to reconciliation. Go back to reconciliation. And then finally, I want to wrap up today too. In case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program. My name is Deacon Louise. I'm like here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And we're glad you're with us here today. And we hope to have Bishop Bradley on with us next weekend. And we'll just have to wait and see what happens with that. He's got a very busy schedule, and so we try to get him on at least once a month. But I want to mention the theology of the body, and that has a great deal to do with our sinfulness, right? Our sinfulness. And that we have to work on it. We're never going to become pure as a driven snow, okay? Until we go to heaven, until we make it to heaven, or as soon as we walk out of reconciliation, I guess at that point. But you can go to EWTN's website, EWTN.com, and look up the papal documents of Saint Pope John Paul II, the Great. And there's a one that he has on there. It's number 20, the analysis of knowing and of procreation. In his general audience of the 5th of March, 1980, the Holy Father continued his series on the theology of the body by examining the meaning of the biblical statement that Adam knew Eve, his wife. Okay. And that they were together and that they were our first parents. See? Adam and Eve. And that gives us something to meditate upon as well. You know, so my brothers and sisters, forgive and love. Forgive and love. As we head towards this week, as we head towards Valentine's Day, St. Valentine, pray for us. May Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. We love you.